presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Round Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome, once again, to another exciting edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. The Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's in high school sports. I'm loving it. For all shapes and sizes, ages, and level of intellect. Whatever you're doing, wherever in the world you may be, we certainly appreciate you dropping in and catching up on what is going on in the land of Viking boys basketball. Alongside the Santa coach himself, Matt Coles, Carl Knox, happy you're aboard for another fun-filled time. How are you, coach?
All right, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great. I mean, the fact that you and I got to visit for, I don't know, 6 seconds before this extravagant production got underway, that in and of itself tells you everything you need to know, folks.
Preparation's everything for us, Carl.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're like a little mini Boy Scout troop. We're always prepared.
Yes.
Oh yes. How you doing?
All right. Enjoying this February, late January, early February weather here.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say I'm sick of winter, and it's not even Christmas.
I know it.
The one conversation I did have with you this week, although I've been kind of beating you up with the text messages the last couple of days, but you know this weather thing, it's starting to wear on us.
It is. Luckily, we don't have a game tomorrow. I know, like you always say, we're we record this on Monday, but Tuesday, it's not a game night for us. So I don't think we have anything to worry about in terms of cancellation. But
no, and you've got 4 days of practice,
right,
to get ready for a big time TVC Ohio throwdown as Coach Jeff Skinner and the Athens Bulldogs will become calling here this coming Friday night, December 20th. That'll be a big game. We'll touch on that later. We got a good guest. I've pulled a rabbit out of the hat this week.
Well, you have. I tell you, that's big time.
It is big time. But you know me, I got connections.
Yes.
Actually, we got a guest coming in. He might be out in the rec room, so to speak. It was announced here in the recent past here. Coach Jim Osborne, better known as Oz, former head coach forever at the Gallia Academy High School down in Galpolis, just announced he will be being inducted into the State Hall of Fame coming up in April. That is a huge, huge honor. And Coach Oz, gracious enough to not just take an interview with us, he's going to be in studio with us here in just a little bit. And we did interview him, that was like two or three years ago?
Maybe a couple years ago, yeah. We talked to him when we were going through that. Yeah, it must have been 2 years ago. Instead of the Where Are We Now, which we started last year, we did a lot of the legendary coaches in our area.
Yeah,
we had a bunch of them on.
We had him, Coach Van Meter. We had a whole Howie Caldwell, different coaches. And since that time, I've actually got to know Jim a lot better. Actually, on the golf course, we kind of got to spend some time this past summer on a little golf trip. And you know, the more I get to know the guy, He is class from the word go, and obviously someone who, and this gives you a little reference, the guy physically and mentally is as sharp as a 20-year-old man. He started his varsity coaching career in 1969.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he doesn't even look that old, you know what I mean, let alone act that old. And usually coaching takes the years off your life, man, but evidently it's added to his. But he's got the right demeanor for it. I mean, he never seems like he gets too shook up, and like you say, a great guy.
No, we'll look forward to talking with Coach Oz about his career. And you know, it spanned a lot of decades and a lot of kids, and he was good, consistently good over a period of time. And I think you would agree as a coach, it's real good to have little flurries of a couple years of having a nice little run of talent. But when you can put together a career that long and consistently put a program on the court that puts up the wins and at the same time develop young men and right. they get the grades, they do the things they need to do. So we look forward to talking to Oz here shortly. But we do have a couple of games to go over here in the past week. You've evened up your record to 2-2 on the season, picking up wins this past Tuesday night. That would have been on December the 10th. Down at Waverly High School, the Waverly Downtown Gymnasium. We are recording this Monday afternoon, December the 16th, if you care. I just want to get that in, you know? Yes. This is canned, so someone might be listening to this 3 years from now.
Right, want to know the date.
Obviously, they need to get a life if they yes. do that, but nonetheless. But no, last Tuesday night, December 10th, you guys pick up a 52-46 win as you guys get your record back to 1-2 on the year. Pick up the first win of the Viking season, and as I said, a 52-46 win. Coach, quickly, pretty good nip and tuck game, and then you guys pull away, outscoring the Tigers 21-13 in the fourth quarter. Just your thoughts on a game that you had to, one, be happy with the win, and two, kind of seeing the kids start playing a little bit better team ball.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking to the kids about, you know, really be process driven. Don't just look at the results. You know, we want to get better every game because, you know, with our youth and everything like that. But you can tell kids that for so long, but eventually they'd like to see a win, and coaches would too. But so it was good to get over the hump and get that win. And it wasn't necessarily real well played game. I mean, both teams were a little sloppy at times. We had some meltdowns at the end of quarters and time and score, but I thought our kids gutted it out at the end, did some things they had to do to at least get the win, and that was big for us, like you said, just to get that first win of the year.
The freshman, Tristan Bartow, leads the Vikings with 14 points. Jared Albright chips in with 12 points. Alex Owings with 7, and Chase Wood has 11 for the Vikings, as well as Max Ward with 5 points. From the field, you guys shoot 40% from beyond the arc, 50%, 6 of 12, as Tristan Bartow knocks down 4 threes, as well as Jordan Albright with 2. From the line, not something you really like to see, but nonetheless, 51%, 14 of 27 from the charity stripe, and you turn the ball over 15 times. But in that fourth quarter, you guys kind of, got the Tigers on their kind of pinned back a little bit, and they tried to make a run, and you guys pull it away late. So it had to be something you were just glad to get out of there. That's always a hard gym to play in.
Yeah, I mean, they were ready for us, and I thought they played well, and they were looking for their first win too. So, you know, you figured that you were going to get their best shot, and you know, hats off to them. But really proud of our kids for finding a way.
Well, and then this past Friday night, you're on the road again. Are you guys? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got a home game coming up.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Who's the athletic director up here?
I don't know. They need to fire that guy in a heartbeat.
I think hearing stories of this guy since he took the job, he probably wants to be fired. I think there was a little bit more to that job than what he anticipated.
I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always.
I am. I mean, I'll tell you.
I'm not going to
get to have a job.
Gotta have a job. Nonetheless, not to rib you too much, but this past Friday night, December the 13th, you go up to Nelsonville York High School to take on Jay Klein and the Nelsonville York Buckeyes. Come out with a 80-63 win. Now, I did not make the game. I was got the live streaming through WATH WXDQ and had the honor of listening to Troy Boltland, our buddy, our Bulldog.
Oh, was he
buddy.
Doing that game?
Yeah, he's you know, the mastermind of TriValleyConference.com, and now he's a multimedia international broadcast star.
Oh, nice.
But he is smooth as silk, and he was calling. They actually did a great job. Got to listen to the game, and you know, my first thought, and I also got to watch your film, so I've seen the whole game on film. You guys came out and went down, was it 8-0 or 10-0?
It was 8-0, yeah, to start the game. Give credit to Nelsonville. I mean, they were ready, obviously, and didn't look good there. And then we kind of chipped away at that and ended up winning the first quarter, and then really had a big second quarter, started shooting the ball really well. Obviously, it's a lot easier game when you make shots at the clip we made them at the other night. I think we shot in the 60% range. When you make the three like that, like we did, I thought it, you know, it put Nelsonville on their heels a little bit, made them press offensively to catch up, and sort of snowballed on them. I think they're a pretty good team. They're going to win some games, and We just, you know, we really finally shot the ball really well the other night. It was good to see.
Well, and the one thing, and I when you listen to a game, you can only base it on what the commentators say, and they did a very good job with the play-by-play and all that. But in that, you called a timeout with that 8-0 deficit, and to hear the commentators, and they were trying to be very unbiased, but they indicated that you seemed to be just a tad bit upset during that first time.
Just trying to get him going a little bit. We had been practicing so well, and I will say on Thursday we just didn't practice as well. It had me a little bit concerned, and maybe that carried over. But I thought once we got our first basket to go in, sometimes you just got to see one drop. We started to get going a little bit, and when we made our first group of substitutions too, I think that maybe sparked us some. You got to give those kids off the bench a little bit of credit that came in there. David Allen, Tristan Bartow off the bench. Obviously, Austin Lambert in the second quarter when he hit four threes. That's a pretty good spark. But our bench guys really came through for us.
The balance of scoring you guys had is as far as kind of really a nice balance of offensive scoring, led by Max Ward with 17. Tristan Bartow has 12. Jordan, Austin Lambert, you mentioned 14 points, and he came off in the second quarter and knocked down those four threes. He goes 4-for-6 from beyond the arc. Senior Alex Owings with 13 points, and the big sophomore Chase Wood with 14 points for the Vikings. You had to be very happy after that little slump to get things going. You shoot 54% from the field. You're 9 of 15 for 60% from beyond the arc, and from the charity stripe, 85%, as you guys go 17 of 20. That is something that always makes a coach happy when you convert on the chances from the charity stripe. So you come away, you pull away, you outscore them after a 0-8 deficit early, outscore them 16-10 in the first quarter, going to the halftime with a 39-25 lead, and then the third quarter you just kind of blow them out with outscoring them 23-11, and you went into the fourth quarter with a 62-36 win. Granted, they did outscore you in the fourth quarter, but that was a game that you kind of had to be happy with, especially with the inexperience or youth rather of this team, and the fact that this is not a 6 or 7 man deep rotation. You're going what, 9?
We play about 9, and sometimes maybe sprinkle somebody else in, but yeah, about 9 guys.
Well, so it's a good win as you guys pick up your second win of the year overall, and you go 1-0 in the TVC Ohio as you kind of start getting into the guts of the TVC Ohio Conference play for the season. And then we talked about this earlier in the segment, a big challenge coming up this Friday night, the 19th. Is it 19th? Yeah.
20th.
20th, I'm sorry.
No.
It doesn't seem like it'll be this close to Christmas.
Sneaking up on us.
Yeah. You got your shopping done yet?
Hey, not as much as Coach Osborne. I mean, he
well, he just
in
came
here.
In here. He's in this studio.
He said he's shopping 2 hours a day, man.
He didn't
he's
have
got it all.
He's,
I don't
he's
know.
On break. But no, I... Yeah, but I haven't even started. I mean, maybe you and I need to, you know, after school gets out, you and I go shopping. But I've shopped.
Oh, that would
with
go
you.
Well.
I don't. Me and you shop. You shop like a woman. You're very very deliberate, and I'm one of these, just grab it and go. But yeah. Nonetheless, that big game coming up, the 20th against the Athens Bulldogs, and that will be something. We'll get into that after we talk to Oz here. That's going to be a. Quite a game, quite an environment early in the season, as it always is with Athens. And of course, they're coming off a 1-point loss at home this past Saturday night to Doug Stuyvesant and the Logan Elm Braves. So, you know, they're going to have a fun week of practice, and they're going to be raring to go, and that should be a great environment.
Well, they play Alexander tomorrow night, so let's hope they take it out on them a little bit.
Well, that's
get
kind
it
of
out
a good
of their
news.
System.
I didn't realize they did play Alex, but that, yeah, I wouldn't want to.
No,
be
Alex, not, nothing against Alex. No. I'm not rooting against them, but I'm just saying I want somebody other than us to catch the fury of their anger there.
No, that should be a dandy of a game. We'll preview that here coming up in a bit. The Viking Rumble Podcast presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Well, he started his coaching career, I believe, in 1969. 531 career wins. Let's see. 11 SEOAL titles. 14 sectional titles, 2 district championships, 21 district appearances, and he's still an articulate, sane, and kind man. We'll talk to the legend next, and newly inducted Hall of Fame member, Coach Jim Osborne. He's next on the Viking Roundball Podcast. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's, before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. Alongside Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox, very happy and privileged, I guess, to be welcomed into the padded room, the studio, in person. We've had him before. I want to have him again. Coach Jim Osborne, who is, I guess, announced a couple of weeks ago that you are going to be inducted into the Ohio High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. Am I correct? When did you get the news?
Well, Norman called me at the golf course, Coach Pearson. Yeah. And I was playing golf. He said, "Oh, you're going in." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I got the news, and I wanted to tell you that you're going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame." So it's probably middle of September, something like that. Matt, you would know because they had their general meetings.
Right. It was, that'd be about right. Middle to late September, maybe even early October. I can't remember. Yeah, but we found out that day, and I knew Norm would want to tell you, and I'm glad that he got the chance to do that. But congratulations, long time coming. So I'm sure now, I hope, if Norm even speaks to you on a golf course, it's going to adversely affect your game.
Norm called you.
He called me. That's hard to
believe. For Norm to make a phone call, that says a lot right there.
Well, but then, I mean, if he talks to you on a golf course, though, his game's going to rub off on you. So I hope the round went okay after that.
But I mean, you weren't playing with Norm. I think you were down cliffside with your buddies.
Yes, I was with Earl Thomas.
Okay.
He called me. I'm not sure where he was at the time, but. The article that was in on Facebook and that, which I didn't see it myself.
Right.
I happened to get a text from a guy named Donnie Johnson who played for us in 2002, 2003. And he's saying congratulations and all that. And somebody else sent me a text, and pretty soon it was, it's on Facebook. But the article that's in on the Facebook was basically one that when I got the Paul Walker Award.
Right.
That's pretty much it. That's not the one, I don't think, that's in the hoop lines.
Right.
They had took an adjustment. Brian Walters sort of adjusted that article to some other things that I'd done in high school. And that's what this article basically is, because I have three grandchildren, and he sort of left them out. So I had to call my daughter and say, "Listen, I didn't leave the grandchildren out." That's what this article. They had lived it a little bit. So yeah, I've known since middle of September, and it just didn't serve me any purpose other than to tell my wife and a couple of friends what was going on.
And I'm sure you're making arrangements when you actually with the ceremony, which is going to be, I think, at the Columbus Airport Marriott in April 26, 2014. Before I get into all the accolades and all the great things you've done, how does the process? And pardon my ignorance, but how does the process? Can you be an active coach? Do you have to be out of the business so long? When do you become, quote-unquote, eligible to actually be voted into the hall? How does that work?
I don't know.
Okay.
Matt can tell you.
I can answer that a little bit. You're supposed to be out, I think, 5 years. Or no, maybe it's 2 years. There's a period of time you're supposed to be out of coaching.
Right.
But there are some active coaches in it because they've went back into coaching.
Right.
You know what I mean? After they got, like Larry Jordan at Southeastern or spent so many years at Southeastern, he got back into coaching after, So there are some guys that are still active. But yeah, I think there's a couple year period, 2 or 3 maybe you're supposed to be out. And then there's a nomination process. Somebody's got to put your name in, and then there's a committee that reviews it. And you got to think, I mean, this is all over Ohio, so it's not easy. That list gets pretty long that those guys are considering up in the meetings. I'm not on that committee particularly, but that list is probably 15, 20 names long at times, so it's not easy to get in there.
The people that vote, are they the existing living Hall of Famers? They're the ones that cast the vote?
No, it's the Coaches Association on. Like, there's a committee. We have committees for different awards, and there's a committee that votes for that. And there is a little bit of a point system, too. You get certain you get kind of a – to help them rank guys, you get points for going to the regional. You get points for,
state appearances.
Different things that you've done, how many years you've been a member in the OHSBCA, the Coach Association. So there's a lot that goes into it. Well, it's quite a process, really.
And I mentioned that at the front of this segment, 531 wins in 41 seasons, all at Gallia Academy with the Blue Devils, 110-196 mark in the SUAL, 11 league titles, went to the districts 21 times, 2 district championships, 14 sectional titles. What what possessed? And I'm not saying this and to make fun of you or make light of it. I'm serious. Just having been around, you know, Coach Combs and having somewhat a relationship with Coach Pearson and seeing the it's a stressful, emotional, gratifying yet hard job to do for. And you see coaches, they come in like, you know, wild horses, and 3 years later they're out of the business. How did you? What kept you going for that long?
Well, and Matt would know it. It's a every team is different. Even if you have the same team back from the previous year, mm-hmm. every season becomes a different process as to how you're going to develop that team, the challenges that you're going to have. So that really did. And then once I got started, it was. I was thinking about it coming over. Is that about every? Well, the fortunate thing is I just ran into Bruce Wilson, who was my principal, was on my first team mm-hmm. at Walmart. And we reminisced. I said, now, you understand that I'm going to mention in my acceptance that the first group probably kept my job because they were so good. They're still friends. Their moms and dads I got to know. Mm-hmm. So it really was a great start. And you have to understand, I got hired by the patriarch of the town. It wasn't because of any basketball knowledge I had, honestly. Mm-hmm. John Halliday, Halliday Sheets and Saunders, attorneys in Gallup Police, knew the football coach, Bill Edwards, at Wittenberg, who's in the Hall of Fame in football. So he called Coach Edwards and said, we're looking for a football coach and a basketball coach. I went to interview. I said, where is it, Gallup Police? I had no idea where the town was.
And this is when you had just graduated from Wittenberg.
I'd been at Wittenberg 2 years as an assistant coach, 67 through 69, I'd been as assistant. And so he said, it's on the Ohio River, my old friend Red Halliday. Well, he said, if you know of anybody else that's interested in football, mm-hmm. maybe they'll want to go. So I brought a guy named Bob Wagner with me. His name is Daddy Wags from Newark. He was just graduating. So we both came down, and the two basic things that I got the job on was, could I handle discipline? And of course I said, yes. And second, right. Could I hold on to my keys? The superintendent really wasn't involved. The principal and AD were the two people involved. They walked me around the school. It was prom time. And really, the number of basketball questions wouldn't have been five. They wouldn't have known it because it basically is a football community. I mean, they right. really didn't know. All they knew in the end was that if Mr. Halliday said, this is who we're going to hire, that was going to be who they were going to hire.
He had that much stroke.
Oh, yes. Now, the guy that came with me stayed 1 year, Bob Wagner. By 77, Wags left or was in Hawaii. By 1986, he was the head football coach at Hawaii through 94. Wow. Won, beat Illinois in a bowl game. Got fired. The AD died. Long story short, the AD that had been a friend of his died, brought in a new guy, didn't like Wags, which happens a lot of times.
Right.
Lost his job. Went to probably five or six different places in the States that he became offensive coordinator because they were doing the spread before the spread was big. They were doing the spread in Hawaii. Well, now he's back at a private academy on the Big Island, and we converse. So they end up the first year, we won the league championship in track, and only thing we knew is the track was sort of round, and the runners ran a lot, the throwers threw a lot, and the jumpers jumped. But we had, again, a great group of people, and we won the league track meet. We always laugh about that because neither one of us knew much about track at all.
And just mention, when you're talking the track, a lot of people may or may not know that, you know, I'm sure they do down in the Gallia Academy, you know, community. But in addition to having a very storied basketball career, you've also coached track, baseball, and tennis all at one point in time or another while at Gallia Academy. Do you have any questions?
I'm just enjoying this.
Taking this one.
Okay. I think you'd like this, though. You know, I'm probably the only guy that's been fired twice.
I thought you just got fired once.
Well, I was baseball for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and we won 100 and some games and whatever, and the board, Mr. Don Staggs, who was our superintendent at the time, called me and said, Coach, they're not going to hire you, and basically because of basketball, but they're not going to fire you in basketball, but they're they're not going to rehire you. I'm going to approve you for the job, but I know there's three people that are going to vote non-renew you.
Not to mention names or anything, but was that just a community, just kind
couple
of
a... Couple of sour grapes. People. And so I got fired while I was out of baseball for 5 years, and tennis opened up, which I played a lot of tennis. I loved to play tennis. They say, well, you take tennis. Well, 25 years later, and now they have four courts. You know, tennis has become pretty popular. And because of my phys ed, I recruited people from phys ed. I'm recruiting my basketball guys because they're really athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Taught them how to play. We had some that went to the state tournament. Enjoyed playing. So I did 25 years of that. Yeah, but I guess my wife said, no, you weren't fired from basketball. You were just let go. That's her term for it.
Right.
So, you know, I don't care, but it was an interesting situation, that's for sure.
And this kind of came out this summer when we were playing some golf. You know, I said, is there a lot of sour grapes? And it's been, what, 2-3 years?
4 years. This is the fourth
year out of the business. And you really didn't, I mean, one, you're not a vindictive, bitter person, I think, as just, but when that all thing came down, I'm sure there was some sting. I mean, just being a competitive person that's done the job and obviously put the numbers up, but you didn't really seem like, you're like, well, it's yesterday's news, it's happened, and life goes on. Looking back over your coaching career, I guess, and I'll just throw this big pink elephant out there, now that you're going into the Hall of Fame, not that you have taken this time off so you can get into the Hall, but do you miss coaching?
I did right off the bat. In fact, I was playing golf with a guy here about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it was a nice day, and I think Gal Police was going to end up playing Warren that Friday. It was a Tuesday. I said, you realize what this is going to be? He went and looked at me because I coached him in baseball, the boy that I'm talking about. I said, you know, right now school's just about out. I can hear the bell. And then I've got practice right after school. I was telling him what the psyche of us coaching. I said I'd have practice, and at 5 o'clock I'd have to rush home. I'd change into my clothes to wear or just wear my sweats, and I'd have to drive to Warren to watch Warren play. Get home about 10 o'clock at night. Matt understands 10 or 10:30. Figure out now I gotta produce for Warren for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. Go to school at 6:45, have practice Wednesday, Thursday, and get ready to play Warren, who beat us by 49 this last, yeah. You know, knowing that they're going to be really good. Mm-hmm. But that was the process, Matt. And I said, that's what you go through. There was never a man, I'm getting tired of doing this. Because there's two things. I love to play and I hate to lose. I mean, you know, it's in golf, in tennis, whatever I play. Badminton. I play badminton with some of the kids in class. I've got it riled. I hate it because there's some guys from England and that they can play. I mean, it's not your back door.
Well, you said this summer. You said it's a wicked game, and I'm thinking, really, Oz?
And tennis. I got a tennis class and that. So for me, you know, right now, really, I'm sort of suffering because I don't have in the winter. I don't have something to really grab onto and look forward to competing with. Even in my own conditioning, I have a program that I go through throughout the year. Well, my treadmill and stuff is where my mother-in-law is in my house.
Yeah, she's having health issues. Yeah, and you and Jennifer.
But I can't roll it out because it's in her room. So now I've got to find a different way, and that's my sort of competition with myself now. But I don't know if I was born to coach, but I know I was born to be around people that I enjoyed seeing them develop. And that came really probably from my parents and their attitude about life.
But on the coaching side, the first year, the 2010 season, when that started, I take it that November 1, when you knew that's when we're, you know, I'm not a part of it anymore, that was probably traumatic, hurtful. It was a tough time, but as the years progress, I guess back to your story when you're talking about your former baseball player and you guys golfing, and you're thinking, my psyche 5 years ago would have been okay. I'm a basketball coach. It's winter. It's time to coach. It's time to do this, and that's what's going to occupy my time. Is it easier as the years go by? It becomes, I don't want to say, you know, you're probably dealing with it better as time progresses.
I become more mellow. Mm-hmm. You know, first year, I'm not sure that I never went to a home game.
Really?
I was kind of, well, there were some things that people didn't understand about the whole situation, and I didn't want to be the guy that went and they said, oh, there's Coach, what's he doing here? So I really stayed away. I think I went – Heath McInnes was at Jackson. I think I went to a game. I could sit up in the balcony, and I didn't have to worry about people right. coming around. So the first year was really difficult for me because there was, again, some things that just – you know, I just didn't want to deal – I didn't want to become a distraction of what was going on. And then the second year, I was a little better. Now, even this year, I've seen a couple girls' games because I – last year was actually my last group of freshmen who graduated. That's they true. Were seniors. So I went to their senior night. You know, I've been to things like that for them. I thought I owed it to them because we spent a lot of time, Matt knows, we spent a lot of time in that daggone gym. I mean, they're like your kids when you're around them. So that ninth grade group, you know, I got to see them go through their last game and they won it and they were happy. And then I went to their graduation because that's part of, you know, I always went to graduation because you know, kid said, I want to see you graduate. That's all I want to see you do. I don't care about basketball if you're really good, but I think you need to get that diploma. So it's mellowed, mm-hmm. and I don't think that I'd ever really go back to it because now I can see I don't know how I did the amount of time that I did. But it was my life. It was my total life, really. My daughter would tell me, and she lived with me from 9th through 12th grade.
Right.
She would say, you're not the same person. Once basketball ends.
Excuse me. Listen to this, Coach. Go ahead. Finish your sentence. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She would say, you're not the same person.
November until?
From that basketball, when it ends, as you are when you get to spring. You're just not, you're involved with Thanksgiving and Christmas and my birthday and stuff, but you're like an absentee person.
Did that bother you? When your daughter says it, I mean, obviously
she's pretty astute. That's for sure. Yeah. And it was, and she now has three kids that are involved with gymnastics and dance and stuff. They're 8, 6, and 4. Mm-hmm. And guess what? She said, Dad, I'm going through what you did because I got to get them to gymnastics at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and we're not getting home. And I got dance, and I got a recital, and when you coming? Because they're going to do the Nutcracker, and I mean, they're
just. And one of the questions I was kind of thinking before you got here, going back to 1969, earlier in your career, has high school athletics changed to the point, because it seems like kids today become very specialized. You know, about you were talking before we started taping about your days playing AAU ball and baseball, and obviously you were a standout left-handed pitcher in baseball. You were very successful at basketball. You've mentioned your love of tennis and golf. You did them all. And it seems like a lot of kids nowadays, and feel free to disagree, it's like that they're at a magical age, be it the parents, be it a coach, or be it a school district, whatever, there's a decision made that this kid is going to be this. And it seems like, you know, back when I was in school, you played basketball in the winter, you played baseball in the spring, you played football in the fall. What's your whole thoughts about the dynamics of how sports or high school sports has kind of changed over the years from early in your career to present day?
Yeah, and again, back to our time, there was only like 3 sports or 4 sports you could play.
Right.
And summer was sort of a time off. I mean, I don't remember in the early 60s where people did a lot of weightlifting and stuff. Basketball certainly was not weightlifting. We played outside because we weren't even allowed to be inside in the 60s. We weren't allowed to go in gyms.
You didn't have PlayStation and all that kind of stuff. You went outside and played.
You had three TV stations that you could deal with. Yeah, it's changed because... it depends again who you work with. Mm-hmm. I've had Brent Saunders, Matt Bakovich, some people who are really good football coaches, and man, we got along really great. And they didn't try to take my time; I didn't try to take theirs. And we really worked together. Mm-hmm. Now I've had another who, even during basketball,
was telling a kid, "Hey, you
wanted
need
yeah wanted them to throw the football, to do the weights," and I didn't appreciate that, but. They're locked into, well, if I'm going to, he wants me to be the quarterback.
Right.
And I got to be there 5:30 in the morning to do this lifting during basketball season. I had a couple that were like that. When I found out, I told the coach I didn't appreciate that. It was my time, not mm-hmm. his. Would he want my guys to play basketball at 6 o'clock in the morning during football season? But it's becoming that now. I mean, you're so locked into your own thing that it's very it's different. Now the thing that Matt has and I have, you know, our guys, I'm around them. I knew when guys had sniffles if they really had a cold. I knew if they had girlfriend problems because summertime we're around them 3 or 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, one night a week. That was summer. Golf was after 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
and everybody else was done playing golf. You know, nobody plays in the heat. But I knew those guys. If they didn't play football, we were in the weight room after school three times a week. And really, I enjoyed it. I, no one says, oh, man, did you put that much? I said, no, that's what I enjoyed doing. And the fruits of that were November, December, January, when you saw the strength program did something good, or the fundamentals that you worked on in the fall, or the shooting skills off the gun or whatever became really good for him. And you could see him say, man, now I know what you mean. Now I like that.
A couple of quick questions. If you had to give one piece of advice, some young 22-year-old right out of college, education degree, he was a decent athlete in high school, and he wants to be a coach, what would you tell him?
Find somebody to mentor him. Even if you go into like your junior high coach or a JV coach or freshman coach, I would say if you're going to hunt a job, depending upon what sport, I'd find what you thought was a solid program and see if you can get in that program and learn from that person. Watch them do that. Now, I think that, Jordan Hill is at River Valley, and he's gone to Alexander now.
Right.
And he's head coach, AD, did all that stuff at River Valley all at one time, plus teach. Now he's some of the advice we've given is go learn your trade a little bit more. You've been in it, but go learn your trade a little bit more and then see where that leads you. Now, I was lucky at 25, I was head coach. No experience other coaching a JV team at the college level, but I had great. You know, I had Eldon Miller, Bobby Hamilton, those people. Mm-hmm. I had great football coaches that I watched at Wittenberg. My high school basketball coach prepared me for how to live, how to act, how to dress, how to be a good person on the floor. I mean, it goes on and on, the people that I had surrounding me that helped mold me into, if it's a Hall of Fame honor, those people and the players, of course, just made it so fun to go. And I always swore that if the players didn't like to come, it was time for me to get out. If they really didn't enjoy coming to open gyms and stuff and being there, then it was probably time, because I don't think I could mold them very well. If they didn't want to be there, it was going to be not a very good thing. And I think in the end, I've tried to almost fool myself, because I had a couple groups that weren't committed, totally committed. They liked basketball, but they weren't totally committed. And I thought I could change them.
Can't do it.
I couldn't. I tried as hard as I could. I did a lot of different stuff. And in the end, I failed my own idea that I could not change these guys. They liked basketball. They liked to play. They were competitive. But they had other things on their mind. And probably then I should have said, yeah, that's probably it. But I was so hard-nosed thinking, I can change this.
You're competitive, stubborn. The way you were,
that's what I tell. Honestly, I'd say, you go be a head coach at 22. Ooh, man, what experiences do you have? Do you play? So what you played? You never coached. I've had a number of players coach for me, and they went, man, it's different on another side. You know those drills and stuff that you just told us to do, and we had to do them. I understood it because you were there to tell us to go do this stuff. Now I'm the one that's telling these guys how to do it, and what purpose. It took those guys a while to go on the other side of it. Sometimes the worst coaches you can have, Matt knows this, are the ones that are the best players.
You made that exact same comment.
They cannot understand how kids can't do what you're telling them. They just can't. They can't fathom. John Milhone, great player at Gal Police, Hall of Fame player there, went to Marshall's in their Hall of Fame. It's about 670, 273 maybe. He coached the Gal Police in the early 60s. He got out after about 2 years. I mean, it was a bad time. They didn't have players, but he just couldn't understand how players could not dribble left-handed or drive and stop and shoot. He said, it's no fun. I said, I can't understand why they can't play it. So I think if you get into a system where you see somebody teach, and one of the things is probably be a person, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you got to understand how kids are. And I thought that was one of my attributes from my parents, is my parents were really good how to be a human being to other people.
Well, and at its core, being a successful coach, obviously you have to know the craft, you have to know the techniques and know the game. But outside of that, you can take any other field in the world. At the end of the day, coaching is a persuasive career.
Oh, yeah.
You are teaching and you are trying to persuade a group of young kids And that's a whole different dynamic than dealing with adults at times. But with that being said, you know, if you don't have the ability to communicate and persuade and get kids to buy in and respect it and enjoy it and thrive on it, I guess you could be a basketball encyclopedia, for lack of a better word, and you're still going to be a failure. Yeah. Parents, the way society has changed, do you think it's people are people, parents are parents, kids are kids, nothing's changed between 1969 and 2013 or 2002? Is it all the same, or have you seen a change in dynamics?
I could see your answer already.
No, I'm asking.
I can see Matt's look too. I talked to some. I had to pay a bill today, and I had two parents of long ago were in the newspaper. And they said, we saw your name in the paper and all that stuff. And I said, yeah, that's really nice. And I said, you know, for probably about 35, 36 years out of that, I really didn't have a whole lot of problems with parents because I dealt with them pretty good. I mean, they found out I was a human being. We had meetings, we had lunches, we had dinners with parents and players. They formulated clubs to help us, food before a game. Thursday night, we ate before a game. All the parents were involved, and they found out I was a human being, and it wasn't just a machine that we were putting out there. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted were their kids. About the last 3 years or so, this daggone color commentary people on the high school games. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
But they say stuff, and they do stuff. The pros, the college people. Here's what the player should have done. Here's what the coach screwed it up. You know, they're on the Dallas Cowboys about yesterday about, yeah, you know, they passed it instead of run it, and they don't know what's going on. But the last couple of years, I think even the high school games, you see the big-time high school games, these color commentary people get on there, and they some of them haven't. I mean, where is their careers?
they're a TCOM or a journalism major that was mediocre at best in junior high, but they think they're competent to –
who listens to that? The parents listen to that. They see that. The kids listen to it. Now they think, hey, we saw that. Now we know what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing that. Or they'll see you play man or zone or whatever, right, and you should have played zone, obviously, because we saw that last night, and they beat Duke because they played zone. So I think that's this too much proliferation of information to a lack of knowledge of what that information really presents to you.
It's a little different back in the 70s when we got WSAZ, Channel 13, Channel 8. I mean, sure. with the advent of technology, things like that. Quick question. If you were never a coach or a teacher, what would you have done? Not a sport, not a professional athlete, just another career path. What would you probably?
My dad was an optometrist. My mother was a teacher. And I really didn't know when I went to Wittenberg, I wanted to coach. And I wanted to play. And again, not knowing how good Wittenberg was, I went into there and I thought, you know, I'm just going to play. Well, I had no idea. Here's national champs in basketball, Division II, baseball. They went as far as they could, league championships. I went in there, I thought, of course, most high school kids, they recruit you a little bit. You think, I'm really good. So I knew coming out of high school because my high school coach had played at Duquesne, and he coached Julius Erving with the Virginia Squires, Al Bianchi, people names that are a long time ago. But he grabbed me, and he made me. So I wasn't going to be an optometrist. I wanted to be outside if I could. I loved to be around kids. I found out I could relate to them, and I could teach them something. Mm-hmm. And even to this point, I really like I went into the Hall of Fame of Gallup Police, and I said, how many of you people in this room did I teach in phys ed? I probably had 50. And these were like people that's 1972, 75. They stood up. I said, did we have a good time in there? Oh, coach, we loved it. Because I didn't treat them any different than I taught my basketball kids or my baseball kids. I love to be in that, and I love to teach them how to win, even in phys ed. So it was more about life, I think, situations than it was that. But it wasn't throw a ball out in phys ed. You guys go play, and I'm going to work on basketball. Your basketball college, you don't have to play because you're basketball. Now everybody intermingled and they became part of that. So that I'm not really sure. I probably could have, but see, I didn't even like to speak in college. I had a speech class and I hated speech. Now obviously you can see from just this interview I can ramble for a long time.
That's okay. But no, it's a good idea.
But I do that now. I'm very comfortable with talking. But in those days when I started coaching, I would sweat like a dog and had to make sure I was really well planned, because if I wasn't really planned, then my kids wouldn't have confidence in what I was telling them if I was stuttering around or didn't know how to organize the stuff. But again, my high school coach just, he made it like that. He's just such a person that I wanted to be. And I can call him Coach Bailey. I call him Mr. Bailey. I had him in American history. He was dapper. He dressed. But well, that's really a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe he was just built to be around sports.
I think given the fact that you had, and I'm going back early in your career, back in the 69-70 when you first started, knowing some of the assistant coaches you had underneath you early in your career, I'm not speaking late with Coach Moore or anything like that. I'm speaking specifically of Rick Van Meter and one Norman J. Pearson. I think the fact that you could have those kind of characters as assistants on your staff, I think psychology would have probably been a proper career path.
Very. I had to communicate with each one of those guys very differently than anybody else that I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, you know, we happened to
get... They were just kids, too. Oh, they were right out of college.
Coach Van Meter, I was at a Rio Grande camp with Carl Wolf, and I said, we're looking for a JV coach. He said, oh, I got this guy that I coached. And Coach Van Meter played against Gal Police when he was in high school and I coached.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Rick Van Meter's looking for a job. We got him an elementary job, JV coach, in 3 years. He's at Greenfield. Saw him win his first game. We drove to Greenfield and watched
him. Now, did you have – you had Coach Van Meter first, then Norm?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Coach Pearson, we got in because, again, it was a good
situation. He married a Gal Police girl,
yeah.
Rita.
Yeah. So – yeah, I've spoken to those two guys much differently than any other people that I've ever had because, one, I understood once they got going, they knew what tech they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a passion for the sport unbeknownst to many other people that I've had. I mean, you knew they had it, that it thing. Like, you know, if you got a team that has it or if you meet somebody, you know. They got it. Other people can fake it or they'll talk it. But you knew Coach Van Meter and Coach Pearson, they had it, and they were going to be successful down the line, no question.
We'll get you out of here, but congratulations. I've kind of dabbled in and out of the broadcast business back to the radio days and have interviewed you and kind of casually knew you in a gym and things like that. And then this summer when you got to
– I hacked it around.
You know what? And that's the one thing. I always thought that Coach Osborne was the most mild-mannered guy. And then I saw – I will say this, comparing your golf game and making a comparison with Coach Combs, you both have the same kind of sand trap game because you had a little meltdown in sand trap. And, no, it was a lot of fun. But getting to spend some time, you know, talking to you in a social situation and just hearing that. And then, of course, I was going to get to this here in a second because we could get you out of here. But the bad part about that trip is it was myself and J.J. Hale, one of my best friends and coworkers, and we were going to – our normal trip of meeting Coach Combs and Coach Miller, Jeff Miller, you guys came up a day early, and it was you and Coach Pearson. And
your fault for that.
I know, and that's where the apology's going. I just want to clear the air before you head back south to down to the river. We had made arrangements. The four of us played, you, Coach Pearson, and JJ and I, and had the three of us had a good time. Norm was miserable the whole afternoon with these allergies, and he says he shot 115. We counted the shots, and he was like 136. But the next day, you two were just going to go out and play, the two of you, and you were loving it. For someone your age, you can keep up with a kid. I mean, you could play 36, 45 holes, and you were loving it and looking forward to it. And in the meantime, myself, JJ, Matt, and Jeff Miller were playing behind you. And I know it was about the fourth or 15th. You remember this? When they drove up. And Norm's face was just, I mean, his eyes were all swollen, and he was whining and complaining. And we already kind of had a little money game, little competitive situation going. And only as Norm can say it, I don't feel good, I'm playing bad, blah, 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 blah.
I says we're leaving.
Ozzy wants to play with you guys. I'll just sit in the cart. And as much as I respect you and enjoy your company, I knew where this was going because having you alone in a fivesome, there would have been no problem. That would have been great. But knowing that Norm was not playing and all he was going to be doing was sitting in a cart for the next 3 hours, you knew that he was going to be doing nothing but razzing each and every one of us. So I quickly said, go, you're not playing, but we'll make good on that.
Well,
that that golf thing. But thanks for coming up.
Hey, it is always good to talk to people who have an excitement about sports in general, and basketball obviously is really, really the thing. I enjoy going to Brow Grand games. I pick a high school game. I've got four or five guys. Larry Howell's at Southgate and is doing a great job there. Of course, Jordan Hill we watched. And then Josh Williams is the head coach of Point Pleasant, played for me. And and then Gary got his first win the other night against Tulsa for Gallia Academy, his first win.
Right.
It took me a while to get a first win, too. My first game was Louis D'Antoni at Chesapeake. He'd just come from Mullins, West Virginia. And they beat us by 30-something.
Well, I'm looking up here on the schedule. Now, do you still go to many of the boys' Gallia Academy games occasionally?
Well, you know what? If I don't do it tonight, I might do it the next night. I really...
You don't have to be committal anymore.
I don't. I missed the Warren game because it was sleeting. And I said, I'm not going to drive 4 miles, get out of the house. Yeah. I'm in the house.
I'm looking at the schedule here. February 11th, I'm looking up on the schedule, and it says Gallia County, Gallia Academy's at your place, coach, so maybe you can make it up here in February.
It's coming to Vinton County, huh? Well, that's right.
Never a dull moment.
There's been some good memories there. I think Donnie was in that group. We won the sectional. I think we might have gone to the regional that year with Donnie. I think it was Freddie Gibson's grandson.
Might have been.
And we played Athens, I think, and we beat Athens pretty bad. And somebody was cheering, and they were going, do they not know they have to play Gallipolis next? Why would they be cheering like that? And it wasn't Vinton County, but it's gone. I really enjoyed the time with you. I still promote the game of basketball. I've spoken a couple times with Gary and then a couple times with teams that are around. And my excitement for the game and athletics in general is great. And you were saying one thing. My grandson's 8. We got 8, 6, and 4. You talk about that AAU stuff already. He and my granddaughter are trying to see if they're trying to push him to the next level, because you're good. Now at 8 years old, are you going to make the commitment of 3 nights a week 8 years old, and it's going to triple your money, and you're really a good dance and gymnastics daughter, my granddaughter. If you're going to go to the next level, that's 6 years old, and that's where it's at. And if you don't, guess what?
You're left behind.
Yeah, you're left behind. Your friends are left in a different area. And now, I don't like that part of it.
No.
But that's what the world's becoming now. If you don't stick your nose in there, we'll see you later. And you'll never catch, if you decide another year or so later, you're dead. You can't catch up to those people. You can't. Yeah. That's today's world.
What a great career, and appreciate you coming up, and what a great service. What great things you've given to the guy you... Academy or Gallipolis County, Gallia County area, and job well done, man.
Thanks for coming up. Appreciate it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time at Gallipolis. You asked me about bitterness. Guess what? I tried to impart to my players that stuff happens. It's how you react to stuff. So when I got the news that I wasn't going to be rehired, I still had to go through tennis season. Guys go, you're going to coach tennis after that? I said, you know what? Bad stuff happens to you. But what should I just quit? Right. What would I be teaching you guys?
You would have been lying for the prior 41 years to have that
and attitude. And we tied for the league championship and had a great time. So I hope that I've led my life in a place where people can see that it's not just a bunch of words. It's my actions will help them. But I really appreciate it. It's been a great time, and I'm going to work on my golf game now.
That's right. I'd like to get in with, I don't really care about playing with Norm.
No, me and Oz, we actually played, and actually he had to suffer the consequences of playing in Norm's foursome. But we've got it figured out. Norm's out of the golf trip, or we'll take him along and we'll let him sit at the pool all afternoon and complain to strangers. I was thinking we'll bring Coach Thomas Earl. Do you know Earl?
Not really. No,
great guy. Great.
Earl. I know.
He's a better golfer. He doesn't get asthma attacks.
We're going to leave Norm behind. But we'll talk. Looking forward to golf season with you. And thanks again for coming up.
Hey, okay? Thank you very much, Carl. Be believers, be leaders, be athletes.
Astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions.
The Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Back with the ball coach, Coach Matt Combs. Was that fun? Or was,
oh, yeah.
That was good.
I told him, I was like, I wish that was the whole show. I just sat here and listened, learned.
Yeah, I said, and that's the thing you get, and that's one thing I like about the Where Are They Now segment, where we go back and talk to former Viking players. But when you go back and I mean this purely out of respect, and talk to the old-timers, the coaches that have done it, not just with some success, but success over a long, long period of time, and that's what you get with Oz. You know, it's good stuff to listen to.
No, it's great stuff.
How things have changed. We know you got to get to practice.
That's right.
Practice. What are you doing today? Practice, coach.
Same thing we did last Monday.
We're only going to get better at it.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll get through this briefly. You got the Athens Bulldogs. We touched on this in segment one, coming over to your place this Friday night, December the 20th, as Coach Skinner and a very highly touted, talented Athens Bulldog group of guys come into your place. And to say that you're not going to have your hands full would be an understatement. Just quickly, and I don't want to reach too deep into the cookie jar in terms of strategy or anything like that. What? Talk a little bit about your thoughts on the Bulldogs and what you're going to have to do to pull out a win this coming Friday.
Well, obviously, they're very good. Everybody knows that. And it's like we told our kids. I mean, we're not going to sit around all week and talk about how good they are. That doesn't do us any good. We got to put a game plan together. You know, one thing, you know, our kids have to believe we can go we can go in there on our home court and get a win. And then coaches have to put together a game plan to give them a chance to be successful. And we got 4 days to practice, which I'm glad, because I think we need that to get ready for these guys. And but like I said, everybody knows how good they are. I think that the thing that jumps out is the size. I mean, they have great size right across the board, and that's always tough to simulate and practice and deal with. But, you know, we're starting to play better. You know, we're going to embrace the challenge and go see where we're at as a team. I think everybody knows, like I said, how good they are, and we certainly do. But you know, we're gonna try to prepare and try to go in there, I think, with the belief that we can win the game and see what happens.
Well, and it's a situation you didn't. We mentioned the first segment. They lost a tough one at home this past Saturday night to the Logan Elm Braves, who another storied program in and of itself. You know, so they're gonna be a little hungry, a little sting in their step, so to speak. They have Alexander coming up tomorrow night, December the 17th. But yeah, I take it this is a triple header Friday night.
Yes.
Freshman tip at 5 o'clock. The JVs go at 6:30. Probably get the varsity going right around 7:45, 8 o'clock, and that will be. You might want to get there a little early, because I'm guessing there's not going to be a lot of seat space.
It'll probably be a pretty good crowd, I'd say.
Yep, but I know that you got them over at our place last year, and then of course they took care of business with you when you played them at the MAC. And you know, personnel wise, you got the Lerman twins. You got the Saltzman, you got Burrow.
Watson, who's one of the better players in our area.
What's the freshman guard I'm hearing so much? Lutz?
Lutz or Lutz, yeah, a nice player too. And like last year, they go maybe six or seven deep, you know, but those guys can play. All of them can play, and they've got a good combination, and they play well together. So Like I said, Coach Skinner's done a great job with them. They're very talented, but we're going to see, you know, what we can do in terms of at least being prepared and being ready, and hoping our kids, you know, kind of rise up to that challenge and embrace it and see what can happen.
Well, I know you're on a schedule. You got practice.
Yep.
Even though Coach Kate's completely qualified to take care of that, we're going to be getting some of the coaches in over the break.
Yeah.
To hear, you know, their side of the story, how they foresee their jobs and, you know, the countless duties that they do to keep you on the straight and narrow, so to speak. And right. We got some Where Are They Now segments. Also, might get a couple coaches from around the area and over the break. I know you guys kind of, your schedules lighten up a little bit with, you know, the kids on vacation and things like that. So provided that the battery in your car is not dead this week, as right. It was last week. Did you get a new battery, Coach?
No, not yet.
I think you need to take a Saturday or Sunday morning or sometime over the weekend, run into Sears over there in Chillicothe and get you a battery.
I'll keep that in mind.
Well, just for the five listeners that are still listening. Last week, Coach Combs, in a hurry, as usual, as he's already just getting his head. He leaves, we say bye, everything like that. And then all of a sudden, I hear what sounded like a bull or a herd of bulls coming down my basement steps. And it was you indicating that your headlights had... drained your battery, and the first thing I thought to me is, this is 2013. Most of the time, there's the cars that's auto headlights, and you quickly made the point that didn't feature.
That doesn't apply to me. I drive old cars.
A 2001. Hey, there's nothing wrong. That's what's wrong with society today. Everyone's completely covered up in debt, and you know, car's an expense. My dad told me a long time ago, car is no different than a roll of toilet paper. It serves its purpose, and that's it. Doesn't appreciate in value, and that's the way it goes. But nonetheless, hopefully your battery's good. You can get to practice. Good luck to you Friday night.
I want to thank Coach for being here, man. I learned a lot listening to you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And again, thanks to Coach Jim Osborne, driving all the way up here from Galpolis. Coach, I know you got to get out of here, and we'll be talking to everybody next time on the Viking Round Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.